on this episode of Pottages.
Agumon looked different, and that annoyed me.
Is this the season where Beelzemon has a lady friend, or no?
No, it's not.
Is that the next one?
Yeah, it's the next one.
That,
damn
yeah.
It. Okay, I know nothing.
Is this the Beelzemon girlfriend season? No. I really hope that's not the case. I hope the characterization of the girls is less frustratingly sexist, as at least Frontier.
You can hope that.
Your password. You can use mine to get on the internet.
Pottages.
Welcome to Pottages, episode 500, DNA Charging in Blind.
Data Squad Expectations and Season 5 Podcast Announcements.
Recorded August 20th, 2017.
Pottages is your critically nostalgic analytical tour through the Digimon anime. I'm Jeff Ruberg, and I'm joined by fellow DATS agents, Ashley McDonald.
I don't know what's happening anymore.
Asher Soffman.
I only have a little idea what's happening anymore.
And Andrew Soffman.
I am the man who knew too much.
This week, we're doing another preseason episode as we pause before diving into Digimon Data Squad / Savers. And as you could tell from their reactions, this is kind of a first time for the podcast where we are not all rewatching. Ashley, this is going to be Ashley's first time watching it all the way through. We're going to dive into more about that, how much we see and how long ago. But yeah, this is a first, and things, I don't know, I think our style and tone won't change too much, but it's kind of new ground for all of us. And anyways, that's why we're doing this episode, to pause and see what we think about the season going in. So give it a time, and we hope you enjoy episodes like this. I think it's nice to look back and see how much our opinions changed from beginning to end. So yeah, without further ado, let's talk about our history with Digimon Season 5, with Digimon Data Squad. How much have we seen? How long ago? And what your general thoughts are on the series? I think since Ashley has the most unique viewpoint, we should start with her.
What? I have no viewpoint. I watched like 5 episodes. Enough for whenever the girl came in and whatever fan summing group I was watching made her text pink. And I was just like, I just can't deal with this.
Her color is pink, though.
I can't deal with all of their texts being different colors. And I was like, I don't care. Yeah, y'all look aged up. Marcus is ugly. I don't care.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Whoa.
Yeah,
whoa.
To clarify, the fan subbing group that did that, basically, yeah, whatever color, I guess it's like Marcus is red, Masaru, since it was the fan sub, Masaru was red, Toma was blue, Yoshino was pink. And every time they talked, it always used that color.
Yes.
Wasn't just like in dramatic moments or whatever, it was every time they talked, which I found cool at the time, but
I was like, this is needlessly distracting. Bye.
So, Asher, how much have you seen? How long ago? And what are your general thoughts on the season?
Andrew, how much have I seen?
You probably gave up around the Royal Knights arc.
I legit don't even remember the Royal Knights being there. I think I gave up before that. I know they went to the digital world.
They went to the digital world multiple times.
Okay, I don't think I saw multiple
no,
times
no,
that.
I'm pretty sure you... So, okay, so I'll have a we'll link to an image in the show notes of... So I can dig it up on our social media. I basically charted out the plot, the way the season goes, because I wanted to see how to break it down to arcs. And my recollection of the season was that it was basically like Tamers. Like, they're in the real world for a while. They go to the digital world, and they come back, and the rest is in the real world. It's actually, like, they go back and forth, like, 15 times. Like, there's an episode, like, early in the... Under episode 10, really early on, where they just go in for a little brief visit. They go back and forth lots and lots of times. So you've probably, I'm like 100% sure you've seen an episode where they've gone there.
Okay, I'll take your word for it. I know they did that because I remember meeting the kid.
Yeah.
So I saw a decent chunk of the beginning, and I think I also saw the end.
Yeah, you. That's probably why I said you stopped around the Royal Knights arc, because you watched, like, sometimes watched with me randomly.
Yeah.
And so when you're talking about Asher, what you've seen, was that fan subbed or was that the dub?
The dub.
The dub.
On TV?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I don't know. This, I never had cable while this was, so like, and this was also airing when we were in high school, is that right? No.
Was it?
No, it 2007. It aired in Japan when we were in... No, that's when it aired in Japan, 2007, right?
No, 2005. No, wait, you're right. Wait.
So I think the dub didn't air until we were in college.
Yeah.
So yeah, I definitely was not like in touch with what was on TV, especially what was on cable. So the idea of watching this on TV, like, it's like, whoa, people did that? That's just me being out of touch, though. Andrew, what is your history? How much have you seen? How long ago?
Okay, so in... No, but in around 2004 or 2005, I was drawing in art class, and a classmate said it looked like Digimon, and are they still making new ones? And I'm like, no. And then Savers happened roughly 1 or 2 years later, and I'm like, oh my god, it's back. So I watched the fan subs, which was a different time, and then I watched it again when it was on Disney XD, which was also a big deal for me at the time. Actually, was it Disney XD yet?
I think it was Disney XD. Or Jetix?
Yeah, no, it wasn't Jetix here, at least.
I thought I saw Digimon XD. No, I thought I saw Disney XD listed in the... on the
that might have been foreign countries, which kept it longer.
Right. And yeah, so the Digimon Wiki at least lists it as Disney XD and Kix. I don't even know what Kix is.
It's probably some other channel somewhere.
Looks like it's a British station. Oh, and also, yeah, it looks like it's a UK children's and teens television channel. Anyway, so what are your Asher and Andrew, what are your general thoughts on the season?
I love this season, even though it's got Masaru in it.
What's wrong with Masaru?
Nothing.
I honestly don't remember enough. I remember being extremely annoyed with the portrayal of every single female character in this
season.
Yes, yeah. That's what it's called.
Do you remember why you dropped off watching it midway?
Well, if it came out when I was in college, I probably wasn't around much
high
to
school.
Watch it.
The fan subs would have been high school. The fan subs would have been high school.
But I didn't watch the fan subs.
Oh, right. So the dub, yeah, it would have... Let me double check that.
You would have been in senior year, Ash.
Oh. So, yeah. Like, I had already stopped watching so much TV at that point because the computer was so much more fun.
Yeah. So, just to confirm the dates, it looks like episode one of the dub aired in October 2007, which would have been the beginning of our senior year of high school, the three of us.
Gotcha. Yeah. So, like, I was already watching much less TV at that point because I was already RPing at that point in my life. And then, like, if I went off to college, then I didn't have a TV.
Yeah, it looks like it didn't even fit like the normal, we think of a normal airing schedule for stuff we're used to. Cause it's like, it didn't, the last episode aired November. So almost more than a year later, actually in 2008. So like several months into when we were in college. So yeah.
And I think I wasn't that attached to the characters, and, Agumon looked different and that annoyed me.
So my history with Data Squad was that I watched it when it came out. Fan subs, I think I watched it in bulk around the time that it was actually finishing. I'm not sure if that was like actually Japanese airing or when fan subs started getting released, but I remember like basically getting to the last episode and like realizing that that episode was just released a week or two earlier. And I was like, oh, okay, that's interesting. And I had to watch it through YouTube, like split into three parts and on dial-up. So had to open the three pages for an episode, then wait 4 hours and then go down and watch them.
I remember those days.
Yeah.
I still do that.
And I remember really, really liking it. It was actually the first series I like basically started rewatching Digimon at that point in junior year of high school. I basically heard there was a new series, I think from Ashley, heard about X Evolution and this series, and started watching X Evolution and then Savers, and then after finishing Savers went back through and watched all the old seasons. But this is kind of like what allowed me to get back into Digimon, be like, oh, this is more mature, this is less childish and silly and blah blah blah. And of course watching it sub, so it didn't have that dub humor that would have put me off and been like, oh, this is for kids. And I really enjoyed it. I really liked the darker tone to certain things. And I appreciated that it didn't feel so much like a kidsy anime because they looked older and stuff. And yeah, that's basically, I mean, I definitely had really positive memories of it. This is I only watched that one time, so I'm really curious to revisit it, especially to see the dub, because I've not seen the dub at all. And that's primarily, we're going to be focusing on the dub, just like we've done every other season. And so that's a totally new experience for me. And that's going to be the first time I've seen the subbed version originally and then going back to it, watching dub. So, ooh, it'll be exciting. And now it is time for the newly sieved game. Asher and Andrew claim to have been siblings for 20 plus years, but I think they just found out about it.
Are they really?
I think their parents lied to them and they just learned that they are siblings and found out they had secret brothers. So for this last round, it was primarily Andrew guessing about Asher. This time we're going to flip it. So it's going to be primarily Asher guessing about Andrew. So Andrew, take off your headphones. Okay, so this new question, I found it uncomfortable and awkward to do the F, Mary, Kill theme around, yes, Digimon. First of all, because I didn't want to bleep out us saying the actual F word. And if we limit it to effing characters, it needs to be, they can't be kids. And if they're Digimon, then it starts to get weird and it starts to make the whole thing seem like it's a joke against furries, which I didn't feel comfortable with. So I invented a new era of F, Mary, Kill. So this is the question I'm calling,
boy,
DNA Spirit Leomon. I'm going to give you three characters and you have to guess who Andrew would pick. So Andrew's going to pick DNA Spirit or Leomon, each one of them. So either DNA Digivolve with that character, Spirit Evolve into that character, or Leomon that character.
So die.
Yes. kill that character. Yes.
Okay.
So yes, DNA Spirit Leomon. So the way it's going to work, you're going to predict how Andrew would answer this question. So you can click the reference link now. So DNA Spirit Leomon, Adventure Agumon, Savers Agumon / Data Squad Agumon, and Atmon Agumon. How would Andrew answer this?
They're all Agumon!
No, I'm just getting confused now. Wait, what?
So it's DNA Spirit or
Leomon.
Leomon. Well, I think he would Leomon the Appmon one. Okay, I'm going to say Spirit, the Savers one, and DNA Adventure.
Okay. And now secretly, so Ash, in our little DM with three of us, write down how you would answer yourself.
Okay.
Andrew, are you back?
Yes.
Okay. Andrew, so do you see the reference link? You can click that and open it. Okay. So in lieu of F, Mary, Kill, which I already explained to listeners why I feel uncomfortable with that, we have a new question, which is DNA Spirit Leomon. And we want to ask you, Ash has already guessed how you would answer this. You have to choose of these three answers, who would you... So, okay, the three possible candidates are Adventure Agumon, Savers Agumon / Data Squad Agumon, or Atmon Agumon, and you have to choose one of them to DNA Digivolve with, Spirit Evolve into, and one to Leomon, i.e. kill. So,
but Ash doesn't even know what the Atmon Agumon is like.
But he guessed how you would answer.
Wait, so...
Answer
how
truth,
would you
how
answer?
How would you answer this?
Savers DNA with Leomon. No, wait.
What?
Wait, what?
That's not the question.
The three possible answers are DNA Digivolve with, i.e. fuse with, like Mary, kind of. Spirit Evolve into, like become that one, and Leomon kill.
Damn, this is hard.
Right?
So just who would you kill, who would you become, and who would you fuse with?
It would have been easier if they weren't all Agumon. I'm just saying.
This is the topic of the day.
This
Everything's
is a challenge,
Agumon.
Man.
So DNA Spirit and Leomon.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll DNA with Adventure, Spirit with Savers, and Leomon with Appmon, I guess.
Yes!
Yay! Asher guessed correctly.
Woo! Who wouldn't want to be Omnimon?
You don't necessarily get Gabumon along with the ride.
What if I am Gabumon? You don't know that. On the internet, no one knows you're a
Gabumon. Okay. You can still get one extra point if you can. So we already have Ash's private answer. Now you can guess what Asher would have picked for himself.
Exactly the same.
Oh, man. Wow. Damn.
Wow.
Facts.
So, as you can see, we have been siblings for 26 years.
Well, Ash doesn't know anything about the Atmon Agumon.
Okay. Can you seriously tell me the Atmon Agumon is better than Adventure Agumon?
No.
Exactly. He's probably boring.
He's a video game character.
Lame.
We don't even know if he's like a actual Digimon from a digital world or something.
I was hoping you guys would go based on the like art style.
Why would we do that? It's about personality, Jeff. We are not shallow people.
I was basing it on the evolutions.
I was not.
And you somehow managed to get the same answers. So, I also was really, because since I was thinking about art style so much more, I almost, instead, I wasn't sure whether to use Atmon as the third one or Tri as the third one, because Triagumon looks so different.
But he's...
He's the same Agumon.
He's the same Agumon.
I would have refused. It's the same Agumon, yeah.
I would have rejected it. So now we're going to talk about our favorites. We're going to exclude Ashley from this conversation because she is... forbidden. She is not. She's.
I leave?
No, don't leave. Just no. You can listen. You should listen. I want that to see how it informs your process going forward.
Damn, I really wanted to go back to reading Dimension W.
But yeah. Okay. So let's start off with what do we all think is the best and worst aspect of the season? Andrew, you're the most hype.
Karata
is both best and worst, or best?
Worst.
Oh, okay. I was going to say that he is the best aspect of the season.
Whoa, he is evil. He is like literal evil.
I should
don't
mention,
spoil.
Yeah, yeah. Even though.
Okay,
we're like,
wait. Can I ask a question? Is this the season where Beelzemon has a lady friend or no?
No,
is that the next one?
Yeah, it's the next one.
That
damn
yeah.
It. Okay, I know nothing.
Is this the Beelzemon girlfriend season? No.
No.
When does Beelzemon get a girlfriend?
Mervamon.
In Cross Wars, yeah.
It was Mervamon, right?
Either Mervamon or Minervamon, I get the names confused.
No, it's Mervamon. Minervamon is a smaller Digimon that is also in Olympus 13.
That's not confusing.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Exactly.
Anyway, this
season...
It's
okay, I barely know what they're talking about either.
Yeah, so I think let's try to not like spoil specific turns and twists and things. Just talk generally, so we don't totally ruin surprises for Ashley. But yeah, I would say Karada and that whole arc is one of my. It's weird because I have such hazy memories of it, but I consider the. I'm trying to think what I liked about it so much and why it left such a strong impression.
Because it's well done, but he's still a jerk.
Yeah, I think I enjoyed that it was a villain that was not totally black and white evil, even though super evil, if that makes any sense.
Andrew seems to think he is super evil.
He's different from other Digimon villains at this point in time.
When I say by not black and white evil, I mean like not like I will conquer the world to conquer the world, but...
He definitely has a goal like that. It's just not conquering the world.
Yeah, I think it might just be... I'm worried...
Don't say anything.
I'm worried the thing, the kind of angle that I don't like about adults like us coming back to a kid series and then just, like, liking everything that tries to be a little bit darker. I'm worried that it's just because the tone's a little bit darker. And it's like, oh, man, this kid's show is so dark. It's so deep. Like, I'm worried that is the only reason I liked it as a high schooler.
But it's not deep. It's blatantly evil.
Right, but a lot of older people coming back to revisit kids' shows consider thing that is darker than normal plus kids' show equals super deep. And I'm worried about that. That's all to be. Anyway, Asher, what do you have any best worst aspects that stick with you?
You mentioned the girls.
Yeah, the girls.
I think the girls were probably the worst part. I think I liked the mechanic of how Digimon kind of work in this season. It took me a minute to get used to, I think, but I think I ended up liking it, and I think I will like it more now. But this season did not stick with me. Let's put it that way.
I can definitely see that, since the DNA charge / Digisoul has a lot to do with it. Really shows the connection between Digimon and their partners in this season.
And I like that stuff.
In a lot of the ways that I thought of Frontier as trying to like recreate adventure in a way, like take the spirit of adventure and apply like a new coat of paint to it, I think this season, my recollection is that it was doing something very similar with Tamers. Like trying a similar kind of like starting off in the real world, having things based more in reality and real world organizations and how Digimon play into that, grounding things a lot more, Tamers didn't really, you know, in terms of cast and everything, still kept it around the same age range, but then dealt with themes that were, you know, kind of appropriate for an older audience. And I think this season definitely was aiming for the older audience. And it's kind of, yeah, I like that aspect of it. I still also judge myself for liking that aspect of it. But do we have any favorite, at least favorite characters? Andrew, who's the Riley of the season? I assume one of the Paw and Chessmon girls.
They don't do much, though.
Unlike Riley, who is the star character of Tamers.
They don't get as much lines as Riley ever
Actually, I'm confused. It wasn't Riley you liked so much. It was Tally, wasn't it?
No, it was Riley. Tally's the blonde.
Wait, which one is the least, the less important character? Tally, right?
Tally.
Oh, okay, because in my memory, I thought you liked the one that was, like, super unimportant. But it's the one that was, like, fairly important. Okay.
No, the one who will totally beat up Yamaki whenever she gets the chance.
Okay.
Which is all the time.
So I guess the Paw and Chessmon girls I'm thinking of are more like the Tally equivalent to the season. They're just kind of there and...
No, they're cool characters. It's just they never get enough screen time.
Yeah. So, so any favorite, least favorite characters?
Well, definitely Karada for least favorite. Best character, the mom.
Oh, okay.
Masaru's mom.
I think my favorite character the first time was Ikuto / Kinan in the dub. I wonder how much I'll find him. Because I think I just like every time there's a, whatever that term is called, fourth ranger, green, whatever, sixth ranger, and this he's the fourth. But whenever there's someone who is initially quote-unquote bad and then turns good, I like.
So, the evil Green Ranger.
Yeah. Ash, what are you going
to
say?
Oh, I was going to say, I remember wanting to like Toma Thomas and then being like sort of disappointed in him.
Mm. I remember finding his initial conflict, like the conflict between Toma and Masaru, really interesting. And then it just later being not a thing anymore. Oh, actually, that's not true. It comes back, definitely comes back at one point. One pretty big point, but aside from that, I don't remember it being relevant.
Yeah. Who is my favorite character? There's some, like, minor villains that crop up later, and I think I liked them.
The Royal Knights? Oh, wait,
no,
do you mean
no.
humans?
Bio-hybrid people or whatever?
Yeah.
Hmm. I don't remember anything about them except that, like, the name Bio-hybrid.
I don't remember anything about them either, but I think I decided to contrarily like them, because that's a thing I do.
Our memory is so hazy on this season.
They were interesting characters, but the one that turns into the dinosaurs was the least fleshed out of the three. Because he was like the silent, strong, stoic type.
Yeah, I don't remember. I remember there was a girl.
Gothic Lita.
Yeah.
I think my least favorite character, Yggdrasil. That's all I'll say.
That's a spoiler, Jeff.
Not much of a spoiler. I just remember finding the ending pretty disappointing. I'm curious how the final climax. Yeah. And I assume we don't really, our memory is so hazy, I assume we don't really have any favorite or least favorite moments.
No.
Yeah, I really can't. Like, there are a couple moments that's there I remember. I don't think I remember them because they were superlative in any way. It was just like, oh yeah, that's the random thing that stuck out to me. Okay, Ashley. So Ashley has not seen basically any of the season, just the first five episodes. So I'm really curious to see what she thinks about all these different characters, what she, I want to get your like impression of them, like what you kind of think, if you think you like them. You have a lot of like opinionated feelings about characters based on their appearance.
It's true. I am a shallow person.
I want you to like assess where, like what you think of them, but also like, do you think they're cool? Do you like them? Do you think you'll like them? Do you hate them? Yeah.
Okay.
So first off, we're going to start off with Marcus. That's Masaru. What do you think about him?
I think he tries to be cool, and I won't find him cool.
Okay.
I hate his forehead.
Like, I hate his forehead.
What's wrong with his forehead?
I don't like how his hair falls on it. It's bad.
Okay, so now we're looking at Thomas / Toma. What do you think about him?
I think I'll think he's cool, even though I don't really want to think that he's cool.
Wow.
It's weird. I thought of him as so, like, he's so blue to me, because that's his color, right? But, like, there's nothing blue in his actual...
Yeah, there's nothing blue about him.
He wears
right
a blue uniform.
Oh, okay. So in these clothes we're looking at, he's just wearing, like, I guess, normal, not uniform clothes.
He's wearing a green shirt that Jeff can't see is green.
Okay, and Yoshi / Yoshino, what do you think about her?
Well, Asher has said that girls are bad, and I don't remember being endeared to her.
Girls are bad, quote Potages.
Upon meeting her, so I'll probably dislike her.
And then some of the psycho. This is Keenan / Ikuto.
Oh, Noah, why are you dressed like this? Okay, he seems like he could be interesting. He seems like he could have some problems with stereotypes, though.
Okay, so this character is Samson / Satsuma.
Is he, like, a bad person from Code Geass? Is he not evil?
Do you think he's good? Evil? We're not telling you. What do you think he is?
Well, he's part of a secret government organization, apparently.
No, don't. What do you think he is? You think he's evil? You think he's, like, Yamaki?
Yeah, I think he's Yamaki.
Okay. What do you think about this dude with the fishing outfit, whose name I can't remember?
He's New Genai? I don't know.
This guy is Yushima?
I don't remember him.
I can't remember his English name.
At all.
He is very important.
He is?
Yeah.
I have no recollection
of him
whatsoever.
All I remember about him is thinking that he's...
Genai?
I always thought he was... Like, I always assumed that he was Marcus's dad in the beginning. Masaru's dad.
No, he's too old.
Not saying if it's true or not. Okay, anyway. Next, and these are the Riley and Tally. Not much of a spoiler. I can't remember their names.
Okay. why are they dressed like that?
Because that's the uniform.
The list we're looking at does not have dub names, which is unfortunate. But it's the only list I could find that had images. And these names are in Japanese. So Shirakawa and Kurosaki?
Miki
and Megumi. Yeah. Other characters, I'm curious about your impressions about the Digimon, actually.
Agumon's ugly. Why are his nose holes like that?
So
thank
mean.
You.
So we're going to look at the, like,
that's
basically the key art, the cover poster. So on this
terrible.
Poster, we see...
That key art is legitimately terrible.
On this poster, we see Agumon with big nostrils, down blanking on...
His face does not look proportionally correct.
So he's just... His existence is wrong to you.
Yes.
We see Yoshino's Digimon Lalamon, little
terrible.
Flower thingy.
Gonna definitely hate it.
Gaomon on the left, the blue bear.
Gaomon's probably cool.
And his evolution up at the top left is Gaogumon, I think. Pretty sure.
The only acceptable Digimon here is Gaomon.
So you don't like Gaogumon? You don't like Geogreymon, the top middle, or Sunflowermon?
Geogreymon is fine. Gaomon's Digivolution is fine. Flower Digimon that are always girls are not fine.
Yep.
Boo.
Yep. Okay.
And doofy looking Agumon's not fine either.
Okay. I'm hoping your opinion about doofy Agumon changes about the season.
Why?
Because I like him, from my recollection.
I don't care.
he's got a good personality.
What do you think about Falcomon?
Falcomon? They're okay.
you don't have any particularly hot takes. I was hoping you had some more hot takes, but I guess you're...
I told you my personality is not given to hot takes.
Oh, no, that's not. You're like, this character is ugly. I hate them based on their design. That happens all the time.
That's just because I'm a shallow person. I just told you.
Now we're going to talk about our expectations, or like concluding expectations, what we think about the season. But before we do that, I want to have us watch both the Japanese opening, the first opening. We're not going to watch the second opening because that'll kind of spoil things for Ashley, which, even though I think the second opening is much better. Anyway, we're going to watch the first Japanese opening, and then we're going to watch the dub opening. Can everyone see?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I hate how many girls there are that look like I will hate all of them.
right.
I really hope that's not the case. I hope the characterization of the girls is less frustratingly sexist, as at least Frontier.
You can hope that.
You can hope that, but they're already wearing different or the main girl at least is wearing a different colored uniform than two boys, which already pisses me off.
That might be explained. But that opening gives me so much, evokes so many, like, it's okay to be watching Digimon again, like, just reinvigorated my love of Digimon. And
but why isn't it Koji Wada?
Well, I don't know.
Because I think around this time it was one of his surgeries.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I don't think he did any music for this season. He did a lot of music for Cross Wars. A lot of really great music in Cross Wars.
He's the second opening.
Oh, no, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Hirari is from Kojiwada. That's true. Okay. Also, the title of this opening is Going, Going, My Soul, but the first going is written, the go is the kanji for strong. So it's, I guess, technically more stronging, going, my soul. Does it make you want to go? Does it make you want to be like, yeah, watch Digimon?
Meh.
Okay. Now, how about the dub? Let's watch the dub opening now. This, I'm sure I've seen this before, but I'm not really familiar with it. So here we go.
Oh, wow. That was gloriously cheesy.
I still love it.
I'm probably trash, but I thought it was great.
It's got nothing on the Frontier opening. I'm sorry.
Sure. Well, it's also too short. It's only like 30 seconds.
Is Frontier longer than 30 seconds?
Frontier's like a minute.
Is it?
I don't think so.
Or 45 seconds. I forget.
I assume 30 seconds is standard. Maybe it was like a minute.
Yeah, it's a minute.
Interesting. Anyway. I think it does well in 30 seconds, and I don't know.
Even without nostalgic, I don't like how it uses the footage.
I think it matches the footage well. I'm impressed that with no nostalgic attachment to this, I still find it compelling. It's not like the try new opening that did the thing. That's all I'll say about it.
Let's Digimon again.
Yeah. Anyway, So now that we've gotten put our expectations on the floor, is there anything that we're like excited for or dreading? I guess we're kind of dreading the female representation, possibly.
It can't be worse than Frontier, can it?
In terms of female representation or in general?
Well, just generally.
Oh, I meant to say something in our Exolution episode, which I don't think I actually did, which was that like to set it up as like, oh yeah, so we just watched Frontier and we set the bar really low for Digimon quality. Now let's burst through that floor, go even further. Next Evolution. I'm mostly just excited to like remember things about the season. Like my memory is so hazy that I have such a strong nostalgic attachment and appreciation for the series, but remember so few specifics. I'm really excited to fill in those details and see if it holds up to that.
I'm excited to appreciate Marcus in a different way. I can actually really enjoy straight up punch'em shonen heroes at this point in my life in a way I couldn't as a senior in high school.
Mm.
So I'm excited for that. I'm excited to like Marcus.
I'm excited to not like Marcus.
I'm excited to see these conflicting opinions in action.
That's right.
Ashley and I never agree on anything.
And yet we agree on many other things. I don't know.
I want to see you two punch each other over the series.
I don't want to hurt Asher like that.
I'm trying to recall what I dread the most. Like, is there anything I dread? Is there anything I really didn't like about the season? I don't think so that I can really recall that I'm not looking forward to getting to.
Royal Knights again for the third time.
No, because I like how they're done, especially for the Frontier.
Fourth.
Third time and stuff we've covered.
Yeah.
But I guess, like I said, I'm a little bit not looking forward to the very, very ending climactic battle, which, spoiler alert, there's a climactic battle.
Spoiler, it is probably not as bad as you think it's going to be.
No, I'm open to that possibility. Andrew, do you have something you're most excited for?
Masaru punching everything.
I'm actually pretty curious, like, how well that will... Right, because it's obviously absurd, and it's supposed to be, like, part of the, like, joke that everyone's in on how absurd it is. I'm kind of curious, like, how that will play out in practice, how much that will be, like... Will the mechanics of it not making sense bother me, or will it just be like, no, this is all a joke, it doesn't really matter? Because I feel like there's potential
It's actually explained in the season why he does it.
I am not expecting it to make 100% sense that he is able to punch Royal Knight Digimon and knock them down. But I'm also like, I'm curious to see how that kind of like humor, when it's like a crucial plot element, will work in practice. I guess I kind of expect it to be like, if you go into it expecting everything to, you know, be fully logically explained, you'll be disappointed. And if you go into it expecting to have a fun time, it'll be fun.
Well, if you're expecting real world logic in a Digimon series, you're going to be disappointed.
Yeah, that's kind of But there's
you should know this by now.
There's lots of instances in this series where we just expect basic logic, not even like real world physics or anything, just like basic logic, and it doesn't hold up to that. So that's what I'm kind of worried about.
Marcus does not adhere to your basic logic.
Where do we think this season will fit in our... So I wrote down our season rankings that we gave at the end of our Frontier coverage. So I'll insert into mine. I had Tamers, then Adventure, then 02, then Frontier. I think I'm going to put this above Adventure.
Whoa.
Yeah. But between Tamers and Adventure.
That's some high...
High expectations. I remember I was listening back to episode 400 to see how to structure this episode. And one of the things was Asher was really excited for us to go into a season without the high expectations of Tamers. And I guess I'm bringing that back.
You're ruining it.
Ashley, where do you think it'll fit into your ranking? You had Tamers, then Adventure, then 02, then same as mine.
I can see that. Thank you.
I'm talking to the audience, Ashley.
Whatever, man. Shut up. until just now, I thought I would put it above 02. But given apparent gender issues and the fact that I don't think I'll like Marcus, and I think I'll find his punching to be both the best and the worst thing, I will only put it above Frontier.
Okay. Escher's ranking was 02, then Adventure, then Tamers, then Frontier. Where do you think it'll rank in those?
I will tentatively put it only above Frontier, but I didn't have a great time with Tamers. So if it's more fun than Tamers, it could go up there.
Okay. So I put it second best. Asher and Ashley put it second worst. Andrew, where do you put it? Andrew's ranking was Adventure, then 02, then Tamers, then Frontier. Where does it fit in there?
Well, definitely above 02 in terms of how much I enjoyed it.
Well, how much do you have to guess where you're going to put it at the end of the season?
Probably first or second.
I don't know you. We're not related.
Ash, you've known this would happen.
This is interesting because, like, but before this, your rankings were identical. It's just switching 02 and Adventure. So now this is adding some variability.
Also, no, but you also have to keep in mind that the rankings aren't based on whether the season was good or not. It's based on whether I liked it.
Yeah, and it's fair for Asher to abandon you as a brother based on how much you like something.
Exactly. The fact that O2, well, okay, fine. I accept my lot as the only one that loves O2.
I feel bad putting it so low because I love so many things about O2.
Yeah. I fondly remember O2 like TK, but
No.
I can't stand by O2's storytelling at all.
All right.
It's true. Like, I can't stand by 02's storytelling, but also, like, the things that I actually appreciate in media. I think, like, having Ken, having Black War Grandma, even though Black War Grandma's execution's terrible and all over the map, but, like, having those things, I feel like I should appreciate so much more. And I do, I don't know. It's like when I put it second worst, that's not because I, like, hate it. That's because, well, there are things I like. There are so many more things I like about Adventure, and there's so many more things I like about Tamers, and maybe Data Squad? I think? We'll see.
Well, you know what? Screw the rankings. I'm just putting them all together in a circle where it just says, I like it.
We are recording this episode like soon after we recorded our X-Evolution episode, so we're kind of exhausted on ideas for things to recommend, and I haven't had time to really finish anything, and I feel bad recommending things I haven't finished. So I am going to recommend The Concept of Going to the Gym on Weekends, because I naturally am a very more stay inside. I'm totally fine not going outside, not doing like doing everything inside, not going outside the whole weekend, and I'm fine doing that until I look back on things later and I'm like, ugh, I didn't do anything. Just force myself to get up at early in the morning and go to the gym and then come back after going to the gym just makes the whole day and weekend feel more productive. I don't know if that's actually true and that's just psychological, but anyway, it's cool. You should do it, even though it seems like something that's like, ugh, don't want to do that. Yeah. Asher, what do you want to recommend?
I recommend eating healthy and...
It's such a preachy podcast.
Doing things on time and living a good life.
Ashley, what do you want to recommend?
I will recommend something more fun than cleaning the bathroom, though you should do that because bathrooms are gross. I will recommend subscribing to a magazine and then reading the issues all the way through. Like, if you start reading something and you're like, I don't care at all, you can skip it. But otherwise, read it all the way through. It's relaxing.
So, Ashley, what you're saying is you don't recommend what I do, which is subscribe to like 3 or 4 magazines and never have time to read any of them.
No, don't do that.
Andrew, do you have a recommendation now?
I recommend did I do J Novel Club already?
I'm not sure.
I think I did.
I don't know, but also it changes, so I don't think you did. When I search J Novel Club, all I find is Michael J. Fox and Pottages.
Well, I think it's in an episode we somehow didn't release yet.
Just go ahead and recommend it.
Okay, I'm recommending J Novel Club. There's light novels that they release weekly chapters of, depending on the title. It's fun. It's done by people who are actually fans just like you, if you like light novels.
Are there any people, for people who are not used to light novels, is there any like, things you recommend people starting with in J Novel Club?
They have not Robotics Notes. What's it called? It's one of the... Well, I recommend Invaders of the Rokujoma, which is pretty much a parody of everything. And then they've got a lot of isekai series. And then they recently got Occultic Nine, which is from the creator of Steins Gate and Chaos Child.
Chaos Head?
That too.
Oh, I didn't know Chaos Child was an actual thing. Okay, so do you recommend those?
I didn't read Occultic Nine yet.
You're not selling this at all. It's like, it has things.
Support them.
They have an interesting business model, and they also have a very small team, from what I understand. I'm pretty sure it's like a lot of the licensing, wrangling, and programming and everything is by a single person. And so, yeah, I think it's a cool thing. And if you want to see more kind of subscription all-you-can-eat models in the anime, manga, light novel industry, it's a good thing to support. Okay, Ashley and I are here several months later. I think we recorded the first part of this episode in August, and now it's 3 months later in November. We're finally about to start season 5, so we wanted to announce some things, some changes for the podcast, let everyone know what to expect and everything. So I guess first off, like, sorry for the delay. There was a big gap between Frontier and Data Squad. I guess there was a bigger gap between Frontier and the end of Frontier. But yeah, we had some scheduling mishaps with... I wanted to launch the season a month ago, but had some mishaps with Ash. Ash moved to Israel after we recorded the beginning of this episode, after we recorded 500, and before we recorded 501, Ash was in Israel for a year and had trouble bringing his mic. So yeah, our audio quality took a hit for the next couple episodes. We found a way, I think, to make it work without losing too much audio quality, but bear with us, because the audio quality will be a bit worse. We're hoping to get a better mic to Ash at some point. Ashley and I are traveling to Israel in a week and a half, 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Week and a half. And we're going to hope to give him a better mic and everything. So that's a thing. But yeah, sorry for the delay in the meantime and the lower audio quality until we get that totally worked out. The other big thing for the season, I'm going to try to do weekly releases. We've banked up a bunch of episodes. We already recorded up to 503. Recorded 503 today.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to reduce the amount of editing time and everything. So we're aiming to have weekly releases. Hope that makes it more fun and exciting to go through the season. People don't drop off after being like, been talking about Frontier for months. Like,
shut up about Frontier. Yeah, it's not even good.
Spent like a year covering Frontier. And so basically for that, my goal is to release main episodes on Monday morning, Pacific Coast time, and feedback episodes the next Sunday. And for feedback episodes, we really want to condense them down, especially with that weekly, we're not going to do like full hour or 2 hour feedback episodes or whatever. They're just going to be 30 minutes long, super short, trying to go for the length that we had back when there were segments, the beginning of episodes, but split into their own episode and maybe record them live. It might be a thing we try. Everything we try and then lead into Cyber Sleuth streams later. So then if we like have things we want to follow up on or didn't get to address, we can do it on the Cyber Sleuth stream. Keep interacting with people. But yeah, so in general, we're going to try to release episodes on Monday and then get your feedback in by Sunday morning, Pacific Coast time. And yeah, we're going to have a release calendar in the sidebar of the site, pottages.com,
on the left if you want to check on the updated calendar when things inevitably slip and don't keep up that pattern.
Shake my head.
SMH. But yeah, the general structure for the season, kind of broken out Data Squad into four big arcs. And then we're going to have basically like two episodes per big arc to like more manageable arcs. So like 501 is the DATS intro part one, then DATS intro part two, and then so on. So there's the Marukimon big arc, Karata arc, and Royal Knights arc.
So who the freak is Karata?
He's a Royal Knight, actually.
No. Dude.
Anyway, so that's basically eight main episodes and then one movie episode. The movie for the season is a thing.
Basically, is a thing. Oh, there's a movie?
Yeah, it's... Eh. Anyway, we'll get to that eventually. And then the wrap episode, 510. So anyway, yeah, we recorded, like I mentioned before, we recorded far in advance, and we've already recorded 501, 502, and 503, which I mainly only mention to explain why things might sound outdated, and like our recommendations especially are going to be like... This thing is super hype. It came out like 5 months ago. Not that long, but
yeah, it's one of them. Like one of mine's gonna be like DuckTales, and I'm gonna be like, it just came out. Yeah. Now there's been like I don't even know how many episodes.
We do try in the beginning of every episode, we explain when we're recording. But people might miss
those dates
that
are there for that
historical record.
Your historical record of
I guess we didn't do it for this, but this we're recording right before we release this. We're recording this on November 5th near midnight. That's why Ashley's tired.
I'm sleepy.
But I also mentioned the fact that we're recording far in advance just to let anyone know if you're planning to become... so Ultimate Patreon supporters can submit topics, which we then cover on the episode. And just mentioning that if you are planning to do that, you should act fast because we've already filled this... We've already like recorded episodes 1 through 3. And so we've already gotten up through halfway through the Marukimon arc. If you want to... contribute topics to the Marukimon arc, the Karata arc, get in quick because those will fill up soon. And yeah, we also, the fantasy draft, I mean, we're basically continuing doing pretty similar to what we did with the Frontier fantasy draft. We're going to be posting it on social media. Not really talking about it too much on the podcast, but we're going to remind people in any of our episode to contribute. And basically, with this initial schedule, I'm setting out release episodes on Monday. And then I don't think we'll actually post on social media asking for fantasy draft submissions until Wednesday. But if you, basically as soon as we release, like if we release episode 501, or release episode 500. Yeah. Release episode 500.
What's your draft for this?
Release episode 500. As soon as we release episode 500 on the site, you can go and submit fantasy draft picks for 501. Even though we won't ask on social media until Tuesday or Wednesday. As soon as we release 500. So as soon as we release 501, you can go and submit for 502. But we'll have it linked to on the sidebar of the site. But yeah, I might have to wait a couple of days before it's posted on social media. Mostly because I have to make images and it takes time and I'm bleh. Anyway.
Both Jeff and I are like, bleh, see this.
A lot of stuff to do. But yeah, so that's how the fantasy draft will work. And like last season, we'll announce the winners on social media. So if I was there to see if you won. And that's basically it. And again, it'll work the same as before where you pick a team. I guess it's not a headcanon dissolution or whatever we called it last season. It's you're choosing a DATS partnership, a collaborate. You're choosing a human and a Digimon, and we will still award points to the most ridiculous one and to the most desired one. In addition to the ones that
in addition to MVPs. Like if I actually picked right. Whatever.
And like last season, we'll probably do a thing at the end of the season where we do the whatever crazy thing we awarded tons of points at the end.
Oh, did we?
I forget how exactly we did that. But yeah, well, there'll be lots of points at the end. So, yeah. And, oh, I guess another big change doesn't really affect... Well, you'll see when we get to it. But the instead of Coastal Clash or Digifeud, it kind of has hybrid evolved into a segment I've been calling Game Show Gatai, which is like a combination of several different game shows. And the main purpose of that is that we can... we're basically keeping score over the course of the season. Keeping a running scoreboard, and then we'll like see who wins at the end of the season.
I think Jeff just made it because he really wanted to be a contestant.
I didn't really want to be a contestant, but I figured it'd be more fun to make it more be more engaging to be like let's all be contestants and yeah and basically there's nothing. The one thing that you can do is if you follow us on social media, we post. I guess it's mostly on Twitter, but we do post a Digifeud surveys. We're still doing Digifeud as part of Game Sugar Tie. They're just extra segments now. And we post the Digifeud surveys on all the social media platforms, so you can follow us there to fill out the Digifeud survey. But we also are running like these basically these micro Twitter polls, which we use as qualifying rounds. So if you want to be up on those, you have to follow us on Twitter for that. But yeah, and we since we do those when we record, it's way in advance. We've already done those questions up through 503. So it's a little bit out of sync, but that's just how it is. And also we started a new segment in 503 that I'm really excited to keep doing for this season.
Oh, goodness.
Surprise, I can't tell you what it is yet, but it's going to be really fun.
Oh, goodness.
And that's basically all the changes we have for season 5. I hope you're excited. I'm really excited. We haven't recorded 3 episodes, I think. It's a fun season. More fun than Frontier, at least.
I'll yawn. Give me a second.
I just said Frontier and you had to yawn. It was a reflex.
It was a reflex, it's true. Series is certainly better than Frontier. My gosh, at least I'm not bored out of my mind.
I guess the big thing that we've already covered 18 episodes. The big thing that I'm excited for is we haven't gotten any feedback about. We've gotten some impressions people have sent us, but I'm excited to finally get to interact with listeners about this season. It might involve you being like Marcus sucks and then be like no Marcus is great or whatever, but.
I'm still on the fence about the Marcus.
I'm also excited to finally start posting social media, all the screen captions for this season.
Oh boy.
I hope those are fun. Anyway, so before we close out, I do want to remind people since the past, we didn't really talk about this too much in the past seasons because there were lots of, I basically want to talk about the legal ways you can watch the season. And yeah, we didn't talk about it in past seasons much because at least in the US, there were so many easy ways. Or there weren't many.
Streaming.
Right. I don't know what the correct terminology is for this, but there were streaming services that let you, because some of these that we're looking at now are still streaming, but they're not part of streaming bundles. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so while we were covering season 1 through 3, they were on Netflix and stuff, and then they no longer on Netflix, but they're still on Crunchyroll season 4.
For Netflix, that makes sense that we made that assumption. Now, seeing how many people seem to be particularly into Digimon, but perhaps not anime, maybe we should have done it for Crunchyroll.
They explained how it was on Crunchyroll and everything.
Yeah.
But anyway, for this season, unfortunately, Data Squad is not streaming, at least in the US, on any bundle services. Yeah. You basically have to purchase it separately. And this, I think, maybe even more than the streaming services, varies a lot by country. Maybe less. Because we put things for sale, could probably do it in more countries.
Yeah.
But we're going to primarily be talking about where you can do it in the US and things. These services probably differ country by country a lot, but you can check these services in your local territory and see if it's available. And for some of them, we'll get to them, but for some of them, it's actually pretty feasible to switch your region and get the content from another region. So it is, if you don't have it sold in your local territory, you can switch to the US and get it through there. Anyway, so the first, and I think the easiest low-friction way, is that it's sold on YouTube. You can buy each episode for $2 and get the whole season for $25, which is actually the cheapest option we'll be looking at. But because it's YouTube, you're basically just streaming. You can't download. You can download if you're paying for YouTube Red to download offline on mobile devices or whatever. But none of the ones we'll get to are actually download to own yourself and have their own file. They all have copyright protection and stuff, which kind of sucks, but... Oh, well.
So, iTunes, you can download it, but you can only open it in iTunes?
I think so. I'm not 100% sure what you can... There might be things you can do to, remove the copyright protection and stuff, but I know that, when you play... we've had trouble, because we get a lot of... we record audio, we take screenshots and stuff, and all that stuff breaks when using the iTunes player, which is really frustrating.
Yeah, iTunes is actually really, really good at blocking itself from things.
Yeah, we don't want too much effort, though. I'm sure there probably ways with more effort, but...
Yeah, but I don't know. I get annoyed because you used to be able, I used to be able to take a screenshot of my own playlist or something just to, be like, this is a list of songs.
Wait, now you can't even do that?
Yeah, it doesn't let you do that anymore.
That's bizarre. Anyway, yeah. iTunes is weird. Anyway, so yeah, YouTube, it's on YouTube for the whole season, $25. And then basically the other services are all video on demand services. I don't know what you call these, but they're basically my PlayStation Store, iTunes, and Amazon. All have a similar model where you can buy per episode. And with these, I think with all of these, you can download. I'm not sure PlayStation Store how that works, because I assume that you're primarily watching it on the PlayStation devices themselves, and maybe they have apps for other platforms, but at least iTunes and Amazon. iTunes, you can basically watch, and you can watch streaming or download on any Apple devices. Amazon, pretty cross-platform across Android, iOS, and computer. I think the main thing that Amazon... you can't watch on these days is an Apple TV, but other TV set-top boxes you can. But the Amazon app for Apple TV is coming soon, supposedly.
Okay. Whatever, Amazon sucks.
She doesn't like Amazon, but for these services, it's $2 each per episode, just like YouTube. But it's a little bit more per season because it's basically $30 total. Each one is split into volume one and volume two. Each volume is $15, so the total is $30. They're also numbered weirdly. The second volume is renumbered starting at one, which is kind of strange. Cool. But anyway, so it'll be like volume two, episode one, which is actually episode 25 and stuff. That's going to be confusing, but we'll have links in the show notes to all these storefronts where you can buy them, at least in the U.S. And yeah, check for your local territory if it's available. I don't think there's any general purpose guide on how to make. And iTunes, I know, is probably the easiest to make a store for a different country and use that. And you generally, the easiest way to pay, because sometimes I don't think it always works. I've done this for Japanese iTunes. Like, I made a Japanese iTunes account, and I can't use an American credit card with that account, but I can buy with third-party sites Japanese iTunes gift cards with an American credit card, and then use that Japanese iTunes gift card in the Japanese iTunes. I don't think we can link to a general purpose guide for this, because I think it varies a lot per country you're buying from. Mm-hmm. But
I'm actually surprised iTunes wouldn't block account creation if it's not a credit card, but all right.
No, I mean, you don't need a credit card to make an iTunes account. And you can make an iTunes account with a gift card. Or, I mean, you can pay with gift cards. So, mm-hmm. I mean, they want it to not be required to have a credit card, because you might be a kid without a credit card or whatever.
I don't know.
And then people get gift cards to when they're too young to have credit cards or whatever. So anyway, that's all a thing. If you want that option, because there's no other way to get it legally in your country, you can probably Google guides on how to make a U.S. iTunes account. And the other services might have more strict IP-based restrictions that make it a lot harder. You might need a VPN or something that's a lot more complicated. But iTunes at least lets you just, like, switch your store region and doesn't really care about your IP address. But yeah, and I guess just, like, a general reminder that, like, financially supporting Digimon is important for the series, for the franchise as a whole, because as quote-unquote popular as it is, it's still pretty niche. It's still pretty not that popular.
And, super niche.
Yeah, and so, like, and I think it's also where, like, a crossword, or, like, double crossroads the fandom right now, because, first of all, like, Atmon has come out and not been licensed for English release, either subtitled or dubbed. And so that's definitely a thing that if we show support for Western releases of Digimon, that could incentivize companies to license, either companies to license Atmon or for Toei to push companies to license it, either way. And also the other aspect that we're at a crossroads is that Atmon is finished and there isn't, and I mean, Tri is still running, but like up in the air, what's going to happen to the Digimon franchise after Tri finishes? And, you know, if there's going to be something like Atmon to replace a non-adventure kind of thing. So, and showing
Frontier
support.
2!
Yeah.
Let's exactly. Get it!
Anyway, basically, like, showing support, even if it seems like you might think that, like, oh, a Western release isn't going to provide support for the Japanese release, like, it does. And so, in what little ways we can show incentive to keep making Digimon and keep getting new seasons. So, yeah, that's why it's important
to. Jeff just wants Prodigious to go on forever and ever and ever.
I don't know about that. I never thought of it that way.
Oh, but now you have, and now you're like, oh, goodness, wait a second, don't support Digimon legally.
No, do. This has been Prodigious 500, covering our Digimon Data Squad expectations and preparations. What did you think about expectations? What are your expectations? Who do you think has the most wrong opinions? Who has the best opinions? Let us know your comments at podigious.com/500. You can also send us your thoughts to Podigious on Twitter, Tumblr, or Facebook, or to our email, podigious@gmail.com. You can also answer our voicemail question if you want to be featured in the next feedback episode. What aspect of Data Squad are you most excited for? Submit your voicemail by emailing an audio recording, 90 seconds or less, to podigious@gmail.com.
Special thanks to Extra Animon for our new Agumon logo for Season 5.
Oh, I guess we should, that's the first, yeah, hopefully you're seeing this in the artwork for this episode. It's really cool, it's really cute. Excited to use them.
It's cute.
Soup's cutes.
Cutesy wootsy. And special thanks to our awesome Patreon supporters who help make everything we do possible, with shoutouts to our current champion Patrimon, Giab Jomon, the infamous Tokujo on Twitter, Dizzy Dizumi, @DizzyAndLoss on Twitter, Joe Keto, Kailunamon, and Sam Fuagamon, who is on the Moncast, which compares Digimon and Pokemon, which is really all of our dreams, I think. Our Ultimate Patrimon, Andy Lusamon and David Graumon, and our Mega Patrimon, Marcus.
And if people want to follow us, Ashley, where are you? Were you tweeting?
AshMcD00 on the Twitters.
And you recently launched...
I recently launched a new podcast about shoujo manga called Shoujo and Tell, and it's at Shoujo and Tell on Twitter.
And Asher is AsherDashery on Tumblr, where he doesn't actually post things. Andrew is Drew Softman on Twitter, where he does actually post things. I am Jeffly Jeff on Twitter. And the podcast itself is Potages on Twitter, Tumblr, or Facebook. And follow us so you can see all of our, like, funny reactions to stuff and gifts. And our, I'm going to do a special Animoji karaoke to celebrate the launch of Data Squad with the dub opening.
So Jeff, go there for that. You're going to... Animoji all of the songs. Animoji
everything. Hopefully we don't get super sick.
You have a problem.
We'll look back on this a year from now and be like, oh my god, this was terrible.
I'm already.
This was stupid. If you don't know what I'm talking about, check out... It'll probably be there. Go to twitter.com/potages.
Just kidding. You'll see what I'm talking about. Why is it not the pinned tweet, Jerry?
I guess it should be. But we haven't launched it yet, so...
Oh, man. Share the podcast with your friends who are excited for Data Squad, and don't share the podcast with your friends who got bored with Data Squad halfway and never finished it.
Ahem.
Me? I didn't get halfway. I got, like, 4 episodes in.
And join us next week as we join Dots with Data Squad episodes 1 through 5. Bye.
Bye.
And remember, never stop Digivolving.
I'm also looking at a list of idioms that involve charge. They're all... None of them are good. Who died and left you in DNA charge?
No, already bad.
All right, we don't have an intro music to do, so... Welcome to Potages, episode 500.
One last thing about the dub for Digimon Savers. The characters actually premiered in the first Digimon World DS game. Since that came out prior to the dub for Data Squad.
Oh, that makes sense. Because I remember playing that. That was actually the first, that game, Digimon World DS, was the first birthday present that Ashley got for me.
Me and 10 other people.
No, the game, actually, you don't remember this, but the DS was a present from several people, like a group gift. The game, Digimon World DS, was... supposed to be your present.
Okay, we just told you that.
The Venn diagram is I like it, and that's all there is to the Venn diagram.
Venn diagram?
Yeah, how are you saying that? Second time I thought you said main diagram.
How do you pronounce it?
Venn.
It's Venn as in Ventus, you know, like the Roxas copy in Kingdom Hearts Birth by Sleep, obviously.
I never played that.
Wow.
I've never been in a Kingdom Hearts game.
I know now, without a doubt. We're moving on to recommendation articulation. Andrew, what do you recommend?
Am I supposed to do a real thing or a joke?
You can do a real thing. Wait, these are not jokes. These are real things.
Yeah, what are you trying to say about us?
I recommend existing.
Okay, well now that's not real things anymore.
I subscribe to Popular Mechanics after reading an article about Fukushima in it. And it was, you know, one of them contradictory, you shouldn't be as scared articles. And I was like, this is cool. This magazine clearly doesn't want me to subscribe to it because it's very much like marketed towards dudes. So then I felt more compelled to subscribe to it.
Growing up, my dad would always subscribe to Scientific American and Popular Science. And the contrast between the two of them, I always liked Scientific American better because the website for Scientific American is SciAm, S-C-I-A-M, and that's just an abbreviation of Scientific American, but it's also the Latin word for I will know, and I thought that was amazing.
Wow, dork. I didn't get halfway. I got like 4 episodes in.
And join us next week as we join Dots with Data Squad episodes 1 through 5. Bye.
Bye.
Be happy. Bye.
I thought we were going to sync
up. Be happy.
Bye.
Be happy. Bye.
Bye.
Don't laugh. Bye. Bye. Don't laugh. Stop. Bye. Bye. Bye.
Bye.
No, you're still...
What?
Calm down. Stop laughing. Stop. Don't bite me. Stop laughing.
Gotta go in the outro.
It sounds like I'm talking to the cat, but I'm Ashley bit me.
Ashley bit Ashley me. Ashley bit me.
Oh, God. She's never going to stop laughing. I guess I was just using one of these previous buys. And... Digivolve your differences, blah, blah, blah.
Bye. No.
It's eating time.
No, it's not.
It's fighting time. It's data squadding time.
Data squadding time? No. Bye.
Bye.
It's not working.
Oh, God. Not just be quiet.
Not just be quiet.
You're not being quiet. Wish I could mute you. And remember, never stop digivolving. You couldn't hold up like a second after that. Oh, boy.